is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
New World Report. Professor Evan Ellis, the Latin American research professor at the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. Venezuela, always in the news for the collapse of governance, for the illegitimate presidency of Maduro, for the threats to the region, all of that. However, we begin with a wonderful story in Science Magazine, highly recommended, about a hero. His name is Alberto Paniz Mandolfi. He is a Venezuelan, but he lives in the diaspora, chased out not once but twice by brutes. And now he's working at great risk for the people who cooperate with him and at great commitment at Mount Sinai as head of an infectious disease organization, mobile infectious disease organization, to do what they can to maintain health care in Venezuela. Professor, a very good evening to you. This story in Science Magazine is most positive in speaking to what Venezuelans who live outside the country because of the brain drain, because it's not been possible to live there or to exist and do your science under the boot of the regime, what they are doing to contribute to the health care of Venezuela and of the region. We're talking about semi-tropical diseases that I've never heard of. The one that's focused of Dr. Mandolfi is called Chagas, the kissing bug, because it introduces pathogens into the system. It attacks at the face, and like a bug that sucks out blood, but then it injects pathogen into your system. So my thought first is this brain drain from Venezuela. That has to be a major concern for any region whatsoever. It's the benefit of everybody who receives it. How did you read this story? Because you've been dealing with Venezuela a lot longer than I have. It looks, according to Dr. Mandolfi's chronology, that Venezuela has been falling apart not since Maduro, but since Chavez. The first incident that's cited here that frightened him to leave the country was when he received a phone call in 2007 and was told by a policeman or an authority in some fashion that his wife's registration was a counterfeit, and therefore he had to pay $1,000. In other words, his wife was kidnapped for hostage money in 2007. Is that a frame that works for everyone, that this country's been falling apart for over 14, 15 years? Good evening to you, Professor.
Good evening to you, John. A pleasure to be on the show. This story really reminds us just how far Venezuela has fallen, first under Hugo Chavez coming in 1999, and of course continuing with Nicolas Maduro. But it reminds us that prior to that era, Venezuela, awash with oil money, although it always had difficulties with corruption and its political establishment, nonetheless had one of the most thriving economies in Latin America, a place to which Colombians would actually go, both for shopping and also to escape some of the difficulties of their country. As part of that, of course, Venezuela's oil company, PDVSA, used to be reputed as one of the finest in the world. And as an associate, the money that was there in Venezuela meant that they had some of the finest universities in the region, which meant that in things like medical research and others, they were very well respected in the region and internationally. Now, little by little, as the story details, that's fallen apart. The number of expert petroleum executives who really fled to Colombia, to other parts of the world, the number of Venezuelan doctors, the number of Venezuelan teachers, who really have been part of this diaspora, which has been leaving the country for quite some time now, is a testament to just how educated many of the Venezuelan professionals actually have been across a range of places. But it's also a reminder that those Venezuelans have families back home, and oftentimes finding themselves abroad do what they can. And so in the case of this particular story, it's a testament to how the medical system, among other things, has collapsed. First, the infrastructure of not getting supplies that hospitals needed in terms of adequate medicines and surgical equipment, but at the end of the day, things like just regular, you know, water and light. And as the story points out, the inability of basic government functions such as disease reporting and some of the things that have to go along with that just weren't there. And so a hospital tried to come back twice and do something to continue the reporting on the infectious diseases that you find in the semi-tropical regions of Venezuela, as many other similar parts of the region. Was a testimony to really trying to do something to help his country, as is the case with many Venezuelans of many professional walks of life, who either by sending remittances back home to family members or other things, really try to keep this once beautiful, thriving, educated country alive. And so it's a beautiful story, but also it's a testament to the tragedy that has happened under socialist rule in Venezuela since really 1999.
A few details. The doctor, Dr. Mandolfi, he and his colleagues have put together the Venezuelan Science Incubator, which in Spanish, the acronym is IVC. This is according to the report from the excellent Richard Stone of Science Magazine. This is a network, national network of 60 young physicians, biologists, veterinarians, and others who are diagnosing and treating infections and educating the public on hygiene and sanitation at long distance and also in Venezuela. Now, there's a team in Venezuela that's in communication by Zoom or by digital communication in some fashion that is doing research. At the same time, it's looking to get drugs to parts of the country that are hit by, for example, parasitic worms. So they're doing long distance telemedicine. At the same time, they're doing tele-research. The diseases are unknown to me. I mentioned Chagas disease, the vampire bug, the kissing bug. There's also leprosy and some other diseases, Zika, Mayaro, malaria. Venezuela has become an incubator of infectious diseases because of the collapse of the healthcare system. These men and women are working at long distance. And Professor, this suggests that what we're looking at here is a culture, and 4 or 5 million, I've lost count of how many have already fled, a culture that is becoming a danger to the whole region because these infectious diseases thrive when there's no medicine, when there's no attention, when there's no health care, and people leave the country and spread those diseases in the area. Is there thought to this in Colombia or Brazil or down the Andean coast that Venezuela is now permitting diseases that have been either reversed or wiped out since the medieval ages to thrive again?
This is a very good point, John, because on the one hand, jungle or tropical or semi-tropical conditions, as you find in different parts of Venezuela, it is a breeding ground for a number of different diseases naturally. And so in that context, as you pointed out, the things that you find, naturally occurring there, whether it's Chagas or malaria or of course, Zika in recent years. And of course, the difficulties with the spread of the COVID-19 virus, among others. But as you also pointed out, the exodus of now more than 7 million Venezuelans has really been a tremendous disease vector, because those Venezuelans have been walking and oftentimes living in very difficult sanitary conditions, in weakened conditions, as they oftentimes go down the Cordillera through Cucuta, through Colombia, oftentimes living in close proximity with lack of running water or adequately sanitized food, and really go throughout the region. And then ironically, during the COVID-19 virus, many of those Venezuelans who could not find adequate employment, as the informal sectors where they were eking out a living dried up, then came back to Venezuela, were again concentrated in camps along the Venezuelan-Colombian border, and went back into Venezuela, where the availability of vaccines for COVID-19, let alone adequate medical treatment for other diseases, was inadequate. And so if you wanted to create a situation for incubating tropical diseases, it's hard to nefariously do something much more than what you have in Venezuela. And really, it's a miracle that things have not been worse. And part of the reason that there's not more evidence of how serious the situation is because, as the story points out, the Venezuelan government under Maduro, not wanting this information to get out, has not been maintaining adequate public health statistics about the transmission of a range of different diseases, including COVID-19.
I'm speaking with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute about Venezuela and the heroes of Venezuela doing what they can at long distance. And the reason they can't do it in the country is because of persecution and threats. The government doesn't want accurate statistics of the diseases that are spreading or have been reawakened by the collapse of the healthcare system. And when we come back, we're going to turn to other tragedies that proceed from Caracas in the hands of bad actors like Maduro and his malign agents out of Moscow, Tehran, Beijing, Havana. All of that has led to danger, serious danger to the indigenous people along the border with Colombia. I'm John Batchelor.